Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Linda Rush. Welcome, Linda. It's wonderful to have you with me.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You have listened to some of these, so you have a good idea that we start at the beginning. And I happen to know that you were not born in Oregon. I even sort of know where you were born, but please tell us.
I was born in southeast Pennsylvania, about 30 miles north of Philadelphia in Bucks County.
On a farm or?
Yes, we had a dairy farm.
How many siblings do you have and where do you fit in the family?
I have five siblings. So my oldest brother is Lynn Rush, who also goes to Portland Mennonite, and I am the second one.
And then?
A brother, a sister, and two more brothers.
And do most of the rest of them live back east, or where are they, scattered? Or?
Yes, the four youngest ones are back in Pennsylvania.
So you have good reasons to go back there occasionally.
Yes.
Let's talk about growing up in eastern Pennsylvania on a farm. Let's talk about summertime, because that's when you're not in school. But tell me about growing up on that farm. What did you do for fun?
We would play ball a lot. There was a family of 10 children that lived out the road from us. They were also our second cousins. And it seemed like Sundays we would often get together with them and play ball or something like that.
Talking like baseball or softball?
Yes.
What position did you play?
Anything. Yeah.
Do you have any memories of some of those games? Some of the maybe special things or crazy things that happened?
No, I do have a memory of something that happened at school. Recess, we also used to play ball. And one time, one of the students threw her bat and it hit somebody in the head, but he was okay.
That would be a little scary.
Yeah, it was.
Did you have the usual bicycles, tricycles, scooters, those kinds of things growing up?
Not bicycles. My brothers got bicycles, but I never did. And yeah, I kind of always thought that was not fair. Yeah, we had tricycles and scooters.
Did you not get a bicycle because you were a girl?
I don't know. I mean, it could have just been circumstances, or maybe girls weren't supposed to have bicycles. I don't know.
But you did learn to ride at some point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'd always have to ride a boy's bike.
And that was challenging. At least it was for me.
Yeah.
Did you have to help around the farm?
Oh, yes. Had to go out to the barn in the morning and help milk cows and feed them. And chickens, we also had chickens. I remember feeding chickens and getting the eggs, which was one thing I didn't like because sometimes you'd find a rat in the egg boxes in the nests. And I hated that.
How many cows did your family have sort of generally?
In the 30s, I think. They were registered Holsteins.
And by the time you were old enough to help, were you milking by hand or were you by then milking by machine?
By machine, by milkers, yeah.
What did you do with that milk?
There was a local dairy co-op, which we sent it to. And most of the farmers around there were part of that co-op.
Did you also raise like the crops that you fed to these animals?
Yes. So we'd have to do haying. And in the fall, we'd always have to pick corn, and that was done by hand. We went to a little Mennonite school, and my mom used to drive us. That's when she learned to drive. She didn't know how to drive until we started going to school there, and she had to drop us off and pick us up. So she learned to drive. And she would pick us up from school and have our work clothes in the back of the car, and we'd have to change into our work clothes and go directly to the cornfield and pick corn until it was time to go home and milk.
And the leaves of corn, the stalks, those are kind of prickly and sharp.
Yeah, you could get a kind of like a paper cut from them. Yeah.
Now, was this field corn that you were picking, or was it?
No, that would have been field corn, yeah, for the cows, for silage.
And you said that you went to a little private Mennonite school?
Yes, it was started by some of the Mennonites around there to send their children there.
So you said your mother drove you. How far from your house was that?
Oh, I'd say maybe 3 miles or something. Wasn't very far. It was in our community.
Did your parents have to pay for you to go to this school?
They did. I don't think it was very much at the time.
And did all six of you go to that school at some point?
Yes.
Tell me about this school, about how many grades would there have been? And so like a first grade, was there just like one class of first grade, or was there bigger than that?
No, it was a small school. There was the 8 grades and there was 2 classrooms. So 4 grades in one room and 4 in the other. And my grade had 8 students, me and one other girl who happened to be one of those 10 children in that family we played a lot with, and 4 boys.
And is it safe to say that you pretty much went through most of the grades with that same group of children?
Pretty much. There was one family that wasn't Mennonite that sent their kids there. And they were very smart. So the oldest one started in my class, but he skipped a grade and his brother skipped the grade. So we had both of them. But the rest of us were, yeah, the same cohort.
At what point did you start to discover sort of some of the subjects that you liked in school? When did that happen and what were those subjects?
Well, I don't think it would have been until high school. Yeah, I don't remember in grade school particularly liking any specific subject.
Were there some that you didn't like?
I don't remember that either. I like learning. And so, yeah, I don't remember subjects that I didn't like.
And where did you go to high school?
I went to Christopher Dock Mennonite High School in Lansdale. The address is Lansdale. And that was also the Mennonite churches, but it was the wider Mennonite church. I think it was part of maybe Franconia Conference at that time, started a school. And it was named after Christopher Dock, who was an early Mennonite educator in that area.
So you went to private school the whole way through?
Well, actually, first and second grade, I went to public school. Then we kind of begged our dad to go to the little Plumstead Christian Day School is what it was called, the little Mennonite school. Because that's where our friends went from church. Yeah, and then from there on, it was private schools, Mennonite schools.
Were there extracurricular activities, say, in high school at Christopher Dock?
Not too much outside of school hours, because we lived, I don't know, 20 miles away from the school, maybe, and we took a bus. So, you know, we didn't stay after school, or we would have no way to get home. So there was a bus that came from our area of the county and took us.
Did you ever have any kind of music lessons, or what role did music play in your growing up years?
I didn't have any instrumental lessons. They used to have singing schools and teach us 4-part harmony and things like that. And the shape notes, we learned the shape notes and yeah, a lot of that kind of music, but more singing rather than instrumental.
Did you actually have a piano in your home?
We did. My mother used to play, but she rarely played because there was, you know, a lot of work to do on a farm. But every once in a while, we would beg her to play. One song in particular was the Midnight Fire Alarm. And yeah, we used to enjoy when she played that. We actually had it played at her memorial service then.
So these singing schools, was this from church or from school? Where did those take place?
Well, I think there were some at both. I do remember learning hymns in school and other songs. But I remember, I think it's at church they also had, you know, we learned it at church too.
What did you plan to do when you graduated from high school, and how and who made those decisions?
Well, at one point I thought I was going to be a nurse. At that time for women, there weren't a lot of career paths. You know, you might be a secretary or a nurse or a teacher or something. And I had thought about nursing, but I had to have 2 years of language in high school to get an academic degree. And I took Spanish, but I really wasn't very good at it, so I dropped it. And so I didn't have that. So I transferred to secretarial. And I found out I really liked bookkeeping. So got a degree. It was called a commercial diploma at that time.
And where did you get that?
At Christopher Dock.
So by the time you had graduated from high school, you had that degree?
Yeah, it was just a high school diploma, a commercial high school diploma.
Tell me how you found your first job. What, did it have anything to do with accounting?
Yes. I actually got a job for our farm veterinarian. You know, I was the office person there that paid the bills and sent out the invoices and all that. But I also helped him with the surgeries on the small animals, which I enjoyed that. It was interesting to see the insides of the animals.
So a little bit of nursing.
Yeah, I guess. I still had in mind maybe I would do that. Actually, when I went in, I went into voluntary service then, Mennonite voluntary service, after a couple of years. And I was thinking I would probably try nurse aide, which was one of the things that they used to have a lot of positions as nurse aides. And so I thought, oh, I could try that. And then I could see how I would really like nursing. But as it ended up, I ended in a payroll office in a hospital. So kept going with the accounting and bookkeeping.
So tell us about going into voluntary service. Was that something that was encouraged? How did you kind of come up with that idea?
Well, I'm not sure. I guess I just wanted to get out of away from home. And a lot of people were doing it at the time that it was the time when the draft was in effect. And so a lot of the young guys were going into voluntary service or alternative service called 1W service. And a lot of the young women were going in to voluntary service also. And I guess I saw it as a way to get away from home. I was hoping to either get out west, get placed out west or in Puerto Rico or something. But I actually ended up in Cleveland, which wasn't too far from Pennsylvania.
That was my next question. Where did you go?
That's where I went. Worked at Mount Sinai Hospital there, which is no longer there.
When you signed up, for how long was this to be? A year, 2 years? What was the story?
One year.
Did you then have an option to extend, or what was the next step for you?
Well, I actually did. After my voluntary service year was done, I actually stayed on in the payroll office and just as a paid employee for some months, maybe half a year or so. And then I moved out of the voluntary service unit and moved into the nurse's dorm, had a room in the nurse's dorm in the hospital there.
And what came next and how did you make that decision?
Well, I had met Alice Hill in voluntary service. We both were in the same orientation and went in voluntary service together. And so she and I had decided we were going to move out west after we got out of voluntary service. So for the summer, we left Cleveland in June. I had moved back to Pennsylvania just for the summer and was planning to come out to Oregon in August for Lynn and Mary Lynn's wedding. And Alice had gone to Drift Creek Camp as a nature counselor for the summer. And the plan was that we would meet up here in Portland then after Lynn and Mary Lynn's wedding. And then we would decide where to go. Alice wanted to go to Colorado, and I wanted to go to Portland because I knew Lynn. And during that summer, I thought, oh, well, it would be fine if we went to Colorado. We would make friends there. And because she had been at Drift Creek and met young people from the Valley, Oregon here, she had decided, well, it'd be fine to stay in Portland. So we decided, okay, we'd stay in Portland. If we couldn't find jobs, then we would go to Colorado. And as it turned out, she reminded me recently that we both got jobs within the first week. That was the day when all you had to do was say you were a Mennonite at one of the hospitals and you had a job, because they were known for their hard work. And there was a lot of voluntary service workers and 1W workers in the hospitals that they knew were good workers.
Do you remember about what year that would have been?
1970.
And where was Alice from originally?
Illinois.
But you met in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Did you live together then as roommates for a while?
Yes. We got an apartment together. And then several other young women joined us as housemates that were just getting out of voluntary service here. And so it ended up, there was four of us living in a two-bedroom apartment on Hague Street.
So here's this farm girl. First of all, you went to Cleveland, so you already had some experience living in a city. Is that true?
Yeah.
What was that, just that initial transition like for you when you went from the farm to the city of Cleveland? Do you remember sort of some of your initial feelings, reactions?
No, I can't really remember too much. Well, for one thing, our voluntary service unit was involved with a Black church. So that was totally different because in our area growing up, I don't know what age I would have been before I ever saw a Black person. Yeah, so that was totally different. But I don't know. In the voluntary service unit, we all came from Mennonite backgrounds, so we had that in common. And I just don't remember that it was so much of a cultural shock or anything.
And then you came to Portland. Was it sort of the same thing again? I've lived in a city before, and this is another city, so we're good?
I think so. And at that time, there was a lot of young adults here, so they had a young adult fellowship, and it was, you know, fun meeting all these new people.
And is it safe to say that the first church that you started attending in Portland was Portland Mennonite?
Yes. Yes.
That's where Lynn was going as well, your brother, right?
Yes. And that's where Lynn and Mary Lynn got married.
So you've been connected with this church for a really long time.
Right. I did leave after that. I only stayed a year that time.
And then went where? Why?
Well, it's a kind of long story, but one of the pieces was I was dating a 1W fellow from Ohio, and his term was done, and he moved back to Ohio. And two of the roommates, housemates that we had, moved back to Indiana and wanted me to go along there. So I ended up eventually moving to Indiana, Goshen, and was there for 4 years. I worked at the Mennonite Mission Board. And after a year there, they restructured. So then I got another job at a manufacturing company. And I had also worked part-time at H&R Block there. There also, we rented a house, and there were four of us. I think it was a four-bedroom house, and there were four of us young women living there.
Were some of them the same ones that you'd lived with previously, say in Portland?
Yes, two of them were.
What happened with the relationship?
Well, it goes the way relationships go sometimes. Yeah.
It ended.
Yes, it did.
Did you take any classes at Goshen or anything since you were right there in the proximity of a Mennonite college or not?
I did not. And I was right down the street.
So let's find out what happened next. So about 4 years in Indiana, and then?
Then I moved back to Pennsylvania again.
Home?
I had my own apartment.
But home area?
Yeah, home area. Yeah. But I always had the intention of coming back to Oregon.
Because?
Well, I just liked it out here. Actually, when I left, I was planning to only be gone for the summer. But, you know, as things go, it ended up being, well, I came back in 82, I think. Mary Lynn used to say she'd believe I'm moving here when she saw me in the driveway with the U-Haul behind the car.
Did that happen this time when you came back or not?
I didn't bring a U-Haul, but I did come back eventually.
Did you stay here after that or did you move again?
Yeah. No. This is the longest I've ever lived any place. And in fact, it's the longest I've ever lived in this house, Annie, you know, at this address.
How long has that been that you've lived in this house?
Since 93.
So that's getting up there.
It is. Yeah. Scary.
It almost feels like home.
Time to move.
Well, is it safe to say that you've pretty much spent your career in the accounting line of work for the most part?
Yeah, doing office management, accounting, bookkeeping, that kind of work, mostly for small nonprofits. Some of my jobs were at Fish Emergency Service and at 10,000 Villages and small nonprofits mainly.
I see a stream of Mennonite all the way through your life. Tell me about being a Mennonite. Was there ever a time when you had any questions and thought, maybe it's time to look around? Talk a bit about that, if you could.
Well, yes, actually, there was a time here in Portland when I went to a community church and was going there when the first Gulf War started. And that church was so patriotic and God bless America that I just felt, no, I can't do this. I have to go back to the Mennonites, my people, you know, God bless everybody. I want God to bless everybody, not just America.
At Portland Mennonite, I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes just in the times that you've been there. Is there anything that kind of stands out to you that is sort of a major change?
Well, yeah, I mean, women in leadership is one big thing that happened over the years.
And you served on many of the leadership groups, right? Like elders and the current table and those kinds of things. Is that true?
I have.
And I also know something you did recently, and I'm not sure if this was the first time, but you went on a Mennonite disaster service week-long building service project. Was that the first time? Tell us a bit about that and what spurred you to action.
Well, it was one of the things I always wanted to do, had thought about volunteering with Mennonite Disaster Service. And Joanne Barta was planning to go and wondered if I wanted to go with her. And so we got several more to go. And it was a great week. We worked really hard. We went to Paradise, California, where they had the 2018 camp fire that practically wiped out the town. So they're rebuilding, Mennonite Disaster Services rebuilding four homes there. So we were working on foundations, basically. So a lot of digging and hauling dirt and gravel and things like that. But it was a great week. I would recommend it.
Did you learn anything new about MDS that you hadn't maybe known or realized before?
Well, maybe one thing is that I didn't realize they would use so much hand labor. Like one day, one of our group was at a house where they were digging the trenches for the footers. And I guess I would have assumed they'd have a backhoe to do that. And in the future, they may. I mean, they actually were saying that might be a good idea to hire somebody locally to do the foundation work. But that's where it was when we were there.
And we might just add that this was fairly recently and things were just coming out of the COVID lockdown as well. So in some ways, MDS was just kind of gearing up again as well.
Yes. Yes. And they were saying that they're short on volunteers. And one of the reasons is because the border was closed from Canada. And they do get a lot of Canadian volunteers normally. So, yeah.
Finally, if you have a day or a couple of days when you can just do anything that you want to do, what do you like to do or what would you love to do if time and money weren't an issue?
I don't know. I think maybe go to the beach and hang out at a oceanfront, something with an oceanfront view, and where I could walk on the beach and have a good seafood dinner or something. Maybe a hot tub to sit in, and yeah.
So fortunately, you live in Oregon where the coast isn't too far away.
Right. So it can happen once in a while.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for giving us this glimpse into your life. I'm sure that we've all learned some things we didn't know about you before. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.